The 1893 sermons, January 29, 1893, a sermon by Elder R.C. Porter, The Mind of Christ, number 2. At 7 p.m., Elder Porter resumed his discourses on the mind of Christ. Elder Porter said, "The study of the mind of Christ is the study of the mind of God, for the mind of Christ contains the eternal purpose of God in all his works. His mind is a transcript of the divine mind of God. It is higher than the heaven, and it will therefore require the eternal ages for it to be fully revealed to us. Christ is the great teacher of the plan of salvation of God from eternity. The Spirit of God is the agency by which he reveals it, and that Spirit is called the Eternal Spirit. Created beings need an eternity to study this plan, and this is true of the inhabitants of every world the Lord has made. So an eternal life, an eternal home was necessary, and God has provided them for us. God would have all the world study the same subject and come to the same conclusions, and he sets us to studying the mind of Christ that we may do so. We can understand it only as it becomes our mind, not in theory, but in reality. All the intelligent beings in the universe can study the same great plan, and by so doing will be united in one. No wonder the angels desire to look into a plan so great. How great? It is the mystery of godliness, the unsearchable riches of Christ. Its depths never can be fathomed. God's plan in the beginning was unfolded as far as was needed at that time. He desired that all that should serve him should choose to do so. He must either make man an irresponsible machine or make him free. In making him free, there was a liability that man might sin, but God did not create sin. He is not responsible for its existence in the world. The lessons drawn from Christ in creation are valuable to us today. There was no difference in the position he took in creation or in redemption. The same humility was seen in both places. His heart was the same all the time." Elder Porter then referred to the creation of the earth and all the worlds. "God is a God of order. It was his purpose that every planet in the universe should have a head, a controlling power or government. Adam was to be the head of this world," Genesis 1, verse 26. "He was to be the prince. Then, when Satan came and overcame Adam, he took his place as the prince of the world," John 14, verse 30. The question may arise, can the devil tempt the inhabitants of other worlds? And if the people of other worlds should sin, would the plan of redemption avail for them? Yes, the plan was laid for all the universe. Hence, Satan and the fallen angels had a provision made for them, but they did not avail themselves of it. Sin entered the earth, and the earth was lost because the head of the government was overthrown. Sin also entered heaven, but heaven was not lost, for Christ was the head of the government of heaven, and he did not fall under Satan's power. Some of the subjects were lost. The angels who left their first estate, when they refused to return, they were cast out, Jude 6. Christ has now taken Adam's place as the head of the human race. He is the second Adam, 1 Corinthians 15, verse 45. To take the place lost by Adam, he came in the flesh and became like one of us, subject to all the temptations to which Adam was subjected. And we are to be created anew in him. Colossians 3, verse 10. Created in his image, and he in all, and there is one great family in heaven and earth. Ephesians 1, verse 10. While angels and the inhabitants of the world who have never sinned are studying the great theme of redemption, we are studying it here. The plan has been perfected. The price for our salvation has been paid, and we are awaiting the time of redemption. God made the world to be inhabited. Isaiah 45, verse 18. It was his purpose that its inhabitants should be holy beings. And when the earth is redeemed and the first dominion, Micah 4, verse 8, is restored, holiness will be restored in the earth. Isaiah 60, verse 21. Then the image of Christ will be restored in every being in the universe. Then there will be eternal life and eternal inheritance. If Adam had not sinned, then anyone to become partaker of the inheritance would have to be born of Adam, in Adam's line of descent. But now Christ has taken Adam's place as the head of the human family, and those who become partakers of the inheritance must be born of him. So we read of the new birth in John 3, verse 3. We must be born of the Spirit, the incorruptible seed which liveth and abideth forever. 1 Peter 1, verse 23. Every person who shares in the dominion must be born anew. He must be in Christ by a new birth. It was in view of this spiritual relation that Christ did not know his own mother in the flesh. Matthew 12, verse 50. Those who did his will were his brethren, his father, sister, and brother. So Paul declared that he knew no man after the flesh. Should we not be glad to belong to such a glorious family? Christ is the teacher of this great family. We are studying that eternal plan here. We do not yet know anything as we ought to know it. God's family is scattered through all the universe, and all are being taught of the Lord. We can only teach what Christ reveals to us. We should study according to the way described in Jeremiah 23, verse 35. Let us receive the word of the Lord by whomsoever it may come. Let us ask one another what the Lord has spoken, and when we learn what it is, let us say, Amen. Another point I wish to make is, Christ created all things by the word of his power. All the universe, every planet, is upheld by that power. It is not hard work for the earth and all the planets to remain in their places. They are upheld, and they cannot help it. Now, this same power is given to us, and cannot we be upheld? Yes, God is able to make us stand. Man is a part of the all things upheld by Christ. It is easy to withstand temptation if he upholds us. Adam was placed on a platform of truth. As long as he stayed there, he would not sin. The same is true of us today. It is a matter of the utmost importance that we stand on the platform. We will not be compelled to stand there. We can deliberately step off, as did Adam. Satan has more ways of access to us than he had to Adam. Adam could only be tempted at one place by the tree of knowledge of good and evil. He put himself upon that dangerous ground and fell. With the knowledge we have of sin and its consequences, could we keep away from that tree? We think we could. We have a lesson that Adam did not have. Elder Porter then read from Patriarchs and Prophets, pages 53, and also from a tract by Mrs. Ellen White entitled, The Elect of God. He further read, from advanced proofs of the life of Christ by Sister White, a statement to the effect that the everlasting covenant was manifested from the eternal ages and that in God's great plan, redemption was not an afterthought. This is the end of Brother Porter's sermon.